You're listening to the 503 Report with Tim Reinerson and Andrew Wellborn, where America's voice is heard. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
California might not have too much to worry about. Check this out. LA Times report. Crime in Los Angeles is up almost 13% in the first 6 months of 2015. Overall, crime surged in Los Angeles for the first time in 12 years. Mayor Eric Garcetti and Police Chief Charles Beck attributed the increases to increased gang violence, rising homelessness, and Prop 47 that downgraded many theft and drug crimes from felonies to misdemeanors. The sharpest increases occurred in the downtown area, Chinatown, and Skid Row. According to the LA Times, violent crimes in those areas rose 67%, while property crimes rose 26%. Former Baltimore police officer and current assistant professor of criminology at John Jay College in New York said it was way too soon to say whether Prop 47 was behind the increase in property crimes. Moscos is quoted as saying, even if Prop 47 has contributed to the rise in property crimes, the result may be an acceptable trade-off for taking a less strict approach toward relatively minor crimes. Moscow said, if there is huge money saved in incarceration, I think we could take an increase in property crimes. Moscow was a former Baltimore police officer for 2 years, from 1999 to 2001. Thank God he's not there now, but my goodness, don't let your kids go to John Jay College in New York to listen to that garbage from him. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. I'm at a loss for words. It's okay. It's a wash. We'll take that with me, as always, on my right. Help me make something out of this, my good friend Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, help me.
I almost fell off my stool. I mean, it's a trade-off for small, petty crime versus the cost of incarceration. Wait a minute. Isn't public safety and the cost of incarceration for the purpose of preventing crime? Isn't three strikes and life sentences for the career criminal? Is it really too soon to make a determination if California's now, I'm going to call it failed AB 109, failed Proposition 47, is the cause of this? Are you kidding me? Is all I have to say at this point. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, and where America's voice is heard. And it's just appalling to think that Proposition 47 and AB 109 do not have a direct cause and effect of an increase, a spike in petty crime. Of course, we predicted it on the 503 Report. It wasn't hard. You know, everybody did. I mean, it's not like we were the smartest ones when it came to getting out in front of this. But really, that's the choice. California is the increase in crime, is the increase in, say, I don't know, your car being broken into, your purse being stolen out of your car, maybe your house being broken into, losing your bicycle, losing your television, losing whatever personal property you have. Is that really, you know, worth the cost in, you know, in exchange for, you know, the taxes that are always going to be increased on you no matter what? I mean, how can anybody say with any type of credibility that it might be worth the cost for crime to go up versus the cost of incarceration.
Andrew, when I read this story, I read this a couple of days ago, and I always try to wait till about the middle of the end of the week before I get on an opening story. And I saw that one and was like, well, I have to go with that one because that affects us all right here in California. Now, he is in New York, and New York traditionally is they're pretty liberal as well as what Californians are. When it comes to things like that, they voted Prop 47 in. But to say that, that is a trade-off because we're going to save money. You know, that's what the Prop 47 was all about, the money for the kids, the Safer Neighborhood Act. But you know what? Neighborhoods is where that is really hitting right down there in the downtown area, the Chinatown area down there. There is a huge gang presence down in a lot of those areas down in Los Angeles. But the police chief and the mayor down there, the first time in over a decade, Andrew, their watch showing an uptick, almost 13%. The only crime that has gone down is capital murder, which is a good thing, but everything else has gone up. And like I said, those stats, 67% for crimes in those three affected areas down there. And that is just appalling that he could say that. We could save some money. It's okay to be less strict. We're trying to be less strict on everything here today. Get out of here. Don't you be talking about that. I know you were a police officer for 2 years. Thank God you're not a police officer anymore.
You know, look, I mean, I'm all about, you know, leniency, and I'm all about, you know, making right decisions towards individuals. And I'm all right, you know, when it comes to with individuals who make small mistakes early in their life or later in their life, I'm okay with taking those mitigating circumstances and applying it towards any type of sentence structure for anybody who commits a crime. But, you know, I mean, why do we got laws on the books anymore? I mean, if we're not going to enforce the laws, why do we have prisons if we're not going to sentence people to prison? And really, I'm going to get kind of crazy on the bottom part of the show a little bit with some of the things that are happening in the state of California. Two predictions that we've made on the show have actually come true. And, you know, when it comes to this cost factor, taxpayers, tax dollars are really designated. One of the primary functions of government is public safety, Tim.
It is. And, you know, in that article, there was a lot of things in that article that could have gone on and on more. But the police chief there and the mayor were both saying, you know, they've spent huge amounts of money, upwards of over $5 million for more increased presence in the gang-heavy areas. And the first 6 months, that money has really not done all that well.
Oh, surprise, surprise when it comes to that. You know, I mean, we're starting to see the incredible increases in Proposition 98, mandatory minimum funding for education out here with the least amount of results as far as it goes statewide, state by state out here in the United States. I have to tell you, you know, I mean, here it is. I mean, the ultimate socialist programs are beginning. You know, we're going to empty our prisons of these so-called misunderstood, nonviolent individuals who are really, really, really beginning to, they're going to start terrorizing Southern California. And, you know, the drug epidemics are going to increase. You know, the meth problems are going to increase. The marijuana problems are going to increase. But, you know, ultimately, those are the decisions that a small group of people have made with the lowest voter turnouts that we've seen out here in California. So hopefully, maybe this little spike, you know, could be a silver lining. Maybe we could utilize this spike and get individuals out there to vote and not allow small groups of criminal, family-based lobbyists and organizations to get out there and change the law so that it becomes unsafe for you, the listener, up and down California.
Now, do you think that the voters in the Los Angeles County and that huge demographic, that area down there, are going to pay attention to that? I mean, that was a big story. 13%, first time in almost 13 years that crime has turned up. It's been, you know, all their policies, they can applaud everything up until right now. Are they going to be paying attention? And is the media, Andrew, going to show that?
Well, you have to focus on the fact that most of this crime is as a result of drugs, and it's going to be drug related. We have to get back into the drug discussion in the state of California and across this country. You know, this freedom, ultimate freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want, but ultimately when it comes down to it, you know, the jobs or lack of jobs, the economy out here in California is not providing perhaps for these wonderful citizens that we are releasing underneath all of these new propositions to get out there and to be productive individuals, and that's just not going to happen, as we all know, when it comes to an individual being released with some type of felony record. But when it comes down to this, the drugs is the problem. That's why the petty theft occurs, because, you know, they go out there and they get the cheap crack cocaine or they get the cheap meth. So, you know, these property crimes are going to go up, and the people of California just got to stop saying no, because guess what, man? These are the drug lords and these are the gang lords, I guess, if we want to say that, beginning to implement these new practices, should we say, on the people of California as a result of AB 109 and as a result of Proposition 47.
It's crazy. I'm just kind of curious when they are going to say, well, you know what? You're correct. AB 109, Prop 47 are not the best things that we ever did, or that we put forth to the people to vote on. I wonder when that statistic is actually going to be put out there and played out. Prop 47 just got last November, but AB 109 has been out there for a minute.
Well, look, I mean, they're both one and the same. Let's face right. it, you know, and then, of course, the modification of the three strikes law that came out recently. But ultimately, you, the listener, the people of California, are going to have to make that choice. You know, do you want to say, okay, you know, the petty crime increase, the spike in petty crime, is that really worth, you know, the tax dollars to go towards individuals? You know what? And the bottom line is this, you know, when we talk about incarceration, I mean, look at the health care that is being provided in the incarcerations, in the institutions, as a result of failed policies by our state and local governments, our California state attorney generals, and every governor that goes back all the way to 1998 when it comes to settling these lawsuits, rather than fighting these lawsuits and establishing almost I mean, it's just unsustainable level of cost for healthcare, which is the reason why AB 109 came into effect.
And it is absolutely true, every word of it. And I can hardly wait to hear if we have some callers on the other part of the show that maybe want to chime in on that. But AB 109 and Prop 47, really right now, not looking good. Los Angeles area, they have got to be going crazy. Upwards of 13% increase in crime throughout that area down there.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, you know, we lost two great ones today. Omar Sharif, great actor, died today. And, of course, the great Ken Stabler has departed this world. So all you Raider fans out there, my heart goes out to you. Okay, California, it's time for something you may or you may not know. Today's date is July the 10th. The year is 1778. Something very important happened. The American Revolution. It was Louis the 15th of France who declared war on the Kingdom of Great Britain. Of course, that created the blockades. And so, you know, we were able to pin in Cornwall Wallace, and the rest is history, as we say. And then 1940, the Battle of Britain begins as Nazi forces attacking shipping convoys in the English Channel. And of course, 1991, Boris Yeltsin was sworn in as the first elected president of Russian Federation.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday after the news right here on 1240 KSUE. Back with a half-hour show.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday after the news on 1240 KSUE, live streaming on the World Wide Web at sierradailynews.com, and the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard.
Okay, California, it's time for us to take a minute and recognize some of the predictions that we've made. Two of them on the last recent shows over the last 4 to 6 months have actually come true. And it's not that hard, folks. It's not like it's great. I mean, for me, it's like reading a children's book when it comes to making predictions in the legislature and what the federal government is going to try to do in various communities, especially with this lawlessness approach that a lot of the cities and the counties and individuals are starting to take against the law, our government, our law enforcement officers, and so forth, and policies. So anyways, it's something that we got to look at, and we're going to bring those up right now to you. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And Tim, we are where America's voice is heard.
And we are, and I hope that they heard the opening 15 minutes, because that was really terrific, and it was talking about what is going on down in Los Angeles here in California, and the way the crime is on the increase, the first time in almost 13 years, Andrew.
You know, sad but true, very predictable. That's not one of the things that I'm talking about that we did predict, because, you know, basically just about anybody could have predicted that we were going to see the incredible spike in crime across the state of California as a result of weakening three strikes, as a result of AB 109, Governor Jerry Brown's, you know, famous, anyways, and then, yeah, of course, Proposition 47 as a result of one of the lowest voter turnouts that we've seen in California's history. So, you know, it's time to wake up, California. If you don't like these policies, you don't like this spike in crime, then maybe it's time for you to take a minute to register and get out to vote, because otherwise other people are going to implement this type of crime wave onto you.
And absolutely correct. You have nobody to blame. Get out there and vote. But you're going to hear that for the next forever. The 503 report is here. Get out there and exercise your constitutional right.
All right. Let's talk about the word I used several months ago, Tim, universal suffrage. Remember, we had that great, yes, conversation about universal suffrage, and a few people were laughed at me, literally, when I brought up the possibility of illegal immigrants maybe having the right to vote in this nation. Would be the next movement of the PCS within the Democratic Party across this country. Well, guess what? Good Lord, heaven forbid that it is actually happening, of all places. Two cities, obviously, New York with its wacko San Francisco East Coast approach. Mm-hmm. San Francisco on the East Coast, New York City, but most importantly, just came out today that the city council, or the elected representatives of Washington, D.C. now are looking at ways to expand voting to non-residents of the United States with legal status is the key. Legal status, you know, to try to circumvent, you know, the federal and state requirements. These are local elections that they're looking to try to attack as far as the ambiguity within the Constitution, because, you know, the Constitution doesn't specifically say local elections. It just concentrates on the federal and the statewide election. So it looks like the universal suffrage that we predicted months ago from the Democrat left, this, the PCS agenda out there, is actually going forward in two of our nation's most historic areas, New York City and Washington, D.C.
Andrew, why is that? Are they worried that they might be getting ousted and they want to get that vote to show that they are going to bring them aboard? So they are hoping that those people will vote them and keep them in office. Is that what it is? Is that the bottom line?
You know, who knows what they're thinking? I mean, voter registration is starting to drop off, as we point out all the time on the show, not just in the state of California, but across the nation. And so voter turnout as a result of that registration is starting to, with the passing of our greatest generation, they're beginning to leave this earth. You know, the voting participation is beginning to diminish. And so is it an opportunity for individuals to, yeah, absolutely, you know, when you've got 12 million illegal immigrants in this country, that's
a huge base.
Quite a base, especially in the states and the counties and the cities and the municipals with local elections. So without a doubt, I think that is going to be the intent, is because of the potential, maybe, perhaps, you know, potential of losing voter turnout, voter capability, your office, basically, as an elected representative by more conservative individuals within this country.
Are we going to see an uptick, do you think, in the next couple years, 5-10 years, Andrew? Because it has been plummeting for a long time on that registration. Are we going to see, is there going to be somebody out there who can galvanize people to get it up there? What is it going to take to have people go out to the polls and vote?
Well, it starts with mom and dads out there actually taking the time to do it so they can influence and put a positive influence on their children as they grow up. So, you know, ultimately, you know, we do this all the time. We say it on the show all the time. This is a result of us not taking advantage of one of the greatest rights ever bestowed upon individuals, and that's called the power through your right to vote. And all of the disenfranchisement that's occurring up and down California and across this country, that excuse needs to stop. You need to show up to vote regardless. I mean, you still root for your favorite professional football team, baseball team, whomever, whatever, basketball team, don't you? Regardless if they win or lose. So that's not the result, right? So you just need to take the time, one time a day, even if you register as an absentee voter, have the ballot mailed to you, put a stamp on it, and send it in.
That is the easiest way, and they're trying to go to that, and I have been doing the absentee for quite some time, but it is so easy when it is mailed to you and you can send it off. If you don't think that you have the time to go to your poll, I can remember my mom and dad, you know, doing that, and they pass that along to me, and I pass that along to my kids. But what a great right that is. We talked about that with We the People last week on our 4th of July show.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to the second one. Here we go, folks. This actually happened a little sooner than I thought it would.
Uh-oh.
But I get this all the time, Tim. We do get it all the time as far as, Andrew, what do you mean we're short in the budget? How do you come up with this math that nobody else comes up with? You know, how come you are one of the only individuals out there that's saying that the budget is not balanced or the revenue is not coming in at the level needed, when every media outlet, well, guess what, folks? This is why. Now I'm gonna get a little dry here. Once again, as a result of myself, I don't have a staff. I don't have individuals who do it for me. Me reading a 400 to 500 page document, I can figure this out. For me as an individual on this show, folks, it's like reading a children's book, unfortunately. I know it's not gonna be like that for most folks, but look, here's the deal. Just came out today. Ready? Tax increases are now being proposed by the governor and the legislature to fund, ready, Medicare, home care services, and of course the shortfall for road repair. Shortfall, I think that's the word we've been using for quite a while now. We're going to be short. Tax increases to fund $1.3 billion annually to fund Medicare and home care services. And they're estimating that the shortfall for road repairs is going to be $5.6 billion, folks. Now, when you add that up, basically, that's $7 billion, folks. $7 billion. Didn't we just tout the fact that we've got a balanced budget? Maybe is this the result of what we talk about all the time on this show, Proposition 98, hogging up the money, that unprecedented increase to $65 billion being now allocated for next year. Next year for Proposition 98 funding. And here we are showing that, guess what? This is only July. Usually this comes out, what, about December,
January? Oh, absolutely.
But this is July, and they're talking about a $7 billion shortfall. So now the governor has called for a special legislative session. The media is not covering this heavy. Guess what? Where is the revenue? If we're $7 billion short, how are we balanced at this point when it comes to this budget? Wait a minute. Are we performing Enron math down there in the California State Legislature?
Andrew, that was one of the stories that I had, and we always think alike on those things, and that is absolutely true. The governor made those promises in 2010. I'm not going to raise the taxes without the people. And he had the supermajority, and they kind of went around that. They don't have that anymore. In 2014, when his election, he said he never mentioned that, but he said, folks, that he was not going to raise the taxes without the people's vote. And now special legislation getting together. That's crazy.
Well, he didn't make that promise for his second term
not.
When it came to this. But here we go, folks. It's just an example of why we just patiently keep chipping away, and we get the questions all the time. Like we just said, Andrew, what makes you think you know something that nobody else knows, the legislative analysis off all these analysts down in Sacramento? Well, you know, like I said, I actually read the document. I don't have staff members. I don't have aides that I rely on their interpretation in order to put a report before the California legislature. But that's what we're going to do here, folks, on this show. So we're going to bring it to you here on the 503 Report. Now, look, what they're proposing is to increase gas taxes. Good Lord, man.
We've already got the highest in the nation, or second highest, I think it is.
I mean, do we really need an increase on current gas taxes out here in California? And then they want to assess new fees on drivers, and we'll explain that here just in a second. And they want to expand taxes on managed care organizations. Now, that $7 billion shortfall, this is what they're looking to do. And the gasoline, now listen to this, folks, listen. They're proposing just in gasoline that $150 million can be raised per 1 cent. Just one penny. That makes it sound like, oh, that's nothing. What's one penny? Oh, two pennies. Oh,
ten pennies is the billion.
There we
billion
go.
Five.
In order to get that $1.5 billion. Now, guess what? Your gas goes up 10 cents. That is a lot of money on you that they're proposing. Now, diesel, $30 million is what they're estimating that they're able to raise on 1 cent. $30 million, like our farmers and ranchers up and down California, don't have it hard enough. We want to impose an increased tax on diesel fuel, which is what they use to pump whatever water's left out here in California in order to grow that food so that you in Southern California and us in Northern California can eat. Vehicle registration, good Lord, $33 million per $1 increase is what they're proposing. A $1 increase, we know it's going to be way more than $1.
Man.
Vehicle license fee, $3 to $3.5 billion is what they're looking to raise per 1% I like that 1% increase rather than have a very, very specific number. And then the vehicle weight fields, guess what? $1 billion just by doubling the rates. Whatever the rates are now for all you commercial drivers out there, hauling, you know, commerce up and down the state of California, keeping commerce, you know, rolling literally down our highways. I mean, whatever fees you're paying right now, they're looking to double. So, folks, it's very important that we understand this. We understand that when we talk about these things here on the 503 Report, dare I say, we actually kind of sometimes know what we're talking about.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 257-TALK, out of the area, 1-866-882-1277.
Lassen County Arts Council's Art of Gold Fever, an event for the Lassen County Fair, is going to be a hoot. Businesses and individuals can adopt a gold miner to decorate, which will be in the fair parade and on display at the fair. Adopt a miner or be a corral sponsor for $50 or be an event sponsor for $100 and support our local arts. For more information, call Roxanne at 310-6050. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station. If you are seeking an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting in Lassen, Plumas, and Modoc counties, you can call 877-880-2880 or 530-257-2880 to find a meeting near you or to speak with a local AA member. Again, that's 887-880-2880 or 257-2880. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, folks, now it's time for California and across this nation, something for you, something you may not know. For all of our libertarians out there, this one's for you guys. It is 1832. President Jackson vetoed legislation to recharter a second bank of the United States. Of course, that's been in dispute since about that year up to current times. And of course, 1919, United States President Woodrow Wilson personally delivers the Treaty of Versailles to the U.S. Senate. And we know what that outcome ultimately resulted to. And then, of course, 1938, on a positive note, Howard Hughes, he flies around the world in 91 hours. And then a moment of reflection towards the word National Socialist, Communist, and any other dictatorship out there. It was 1942. Himmler orders the sterilization of all Jewish women in the Ravensbrück camp in Germany. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And Tim, we are where America's voice is heard. And it looks like we do have somebody wanting to participate. Hello, welcome to 503 Report. What's on your mind? Thanks for joining this conversation.
Good afternoon, guys. It's been
Hi.
A long time. Thanks for the show.
You bet.
Hey, we all have to pay our fair share, and things are not free in the state of California or America. The state of California does not set the price on the things it has to buy and the wages it has to pay. And the people that have grown old working to build this state and this country deserve a little bit of health care, whether or not I like it, you like it, or anybody else likes it. They deserve it. I'm working two jobs, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, hardly any time off. And you know what I'm going to get out of it? I'm going to get me a home, and I get to pay my county taxes on my home, and I get to be covered by police, fire, ambulance, and good neighbors. We all should just be thankful that this country is not like any other country in this world, because we have more than anybody else in this world. And every time I hear you guys complain about the cost of stuff, and you act like it's coming all out of your pocket, you guys should grow up and be Americans.
Thank you for the phone call. I agree with about 98% of everything you said there. I love paying my taxes, my home. I enjoy the protection of the police, the fire department, and ambulance. I do. And because the government, our government here in the state of California, wants to continue to raise our taxes for more and more things to let me have less and less money, I have a problem with that. And I vote that way to get those people out. I have no problem paying my taxes. We have never said that here. We do that here like all Americans. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
Well, I mean, I have a problem with the lying part of it. In other words, the way they shift it on us, you know, they say they're not going to, and then they do. I mean, come on, do you think Jerry Brown would have ever been elected in the state of California if he proposed taxes? I mean, that's the reality. I mean, God bless you to the caller. Thank you, sir, for, first of all, working. Thank you, sir, for paying your taxes.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir, for being a productive citizen in this country and not a deadbeat non-producer. Thank you for listening to the show. We really appreciate that. But when it comes down to this process of how we do raise the taxes, that seems to be the issue that we want to talk about, how they bamboozle you and they try to tell you they're not going to, the propaganda that they put on you, the voter, so that you don't see it. And the next thing you know, they do it quietly and they do it secretly. And we're seeing more and more resistance of these individuals towards press coverage. The press is actually not doing its job, as the First Amendment gives them that all-powerful right. And so all of a sudden we wake up, sir, ladies and gentlemen, up and down California, and we say, what is this? And so, you know, the question is what is this? And these individuals need to be held accountable for bringing something forward that they said that they would not do. And we remember that Republicans back in 2008, 2009, lost their seat when they said they would not comply or they would not cooperate with Governor Jerry Brown's tax proposals. And so here they are now trying to do the same thing as Democrats, do the end-around game around the people and actually do this special legislative session that no one's even paying attention to in order to try to pass a tax on you during the summertime. Yeah. Why during the summertime?
Nothing
because who's paying attention during this summertime? And then you wake up one day and guess what? Where did that tax come from? Okay, thank you. We do have another call on the line. Thanks for participating in this conversation. Welcome to 503 Report. What's on your mind today?
Yes. I'll start out like Obamacare, passed by Congress, stated by Nancy Pelosi, passed the bill before you read it. Is that the process? Getting the votes needed by bribery. Is that the process? Telling the citizens that they do not need to change their doctors. Is that the process when they have to change their doctors? Telling the American people that their insurance will be cheaper when it will be just the opposite. Is that the process? The Supreme Court Justice John Roberts changing the law using tax subsidies. Is that the process? When the Chief Justice was sworn in, he was to uphold the Constitution. He changed the law to fit his purpose of passing it and giving his vote. Is that the process? We, as citizens, are troubled that the Constitution can be changed. We definitely need justices that can be trusted to uphold the Constitution.
Thank you very much, and amen to the majority of that, ma'am.
And there is a process for that. And that is, call what we talked about earlier. Get out and vote. Get those people elected who can appoint people like that.
Well, it's not the process of the Supreme Court.
Correct.
To overturn major non-constitutional legislation. So, you know, the process behind all of this is really, hopefully, that the listeners, you know, are starting to understand that I am really, really harping on. I mean, you know, I like to harp on the fact that when the process is not being followed. Now, sometimes we misconstrue what we believe to be the process, and that happens sometimes.
Sure.
And sometimes we have to engage in that conversation, hopefully civilly, with individuals up and down the state of California. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, folks, you have to participate through your voting. And we do have another call. The phones are just lighting up. Hello, welcome to 503 Report. Thanks for joining this conversation. What is on your mind today?
Hi, go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's talk about California. I want to stay on California here just a little bit. There's lots that we can talk about at the federal level, especially with the removal of the Confederate flag down in South Carolina. And all I've got to say about that is to reiterate what we said last week. Look, there is no place for any flag other than the United States flag and the state flag that that property is residing in to be over any public governmental building, period. But ultimately, I just want to reiterate this. You know, I mean, look, for us to allow that flag to misconstrued as hate is a travesty in this nation. That flag, folks, I'm going to say one more time, represents, no matter what, the ultimate defiance to the federal government by the southern states. And here we are, ironically, historically, this is a historical point. Here we go again. Republicans are once again imposing something upon the people of the South. So, okay, back to California here real quick. You know, all this Trump business that's happening right now, I got to tell you, I'm fascinated with Donald Trump. I'm rooting for him to do well. I like the fact that he's just saying it as it is.
Fresh.
And, you know, now we're seeing California Senator Isidore Hall, Democrat out of Compton. Nine other senators are introducing a resolution calling upon California to divest from Donald Trump. And that includes CalPERS and CalSTRS, the public pension plans, is what they are advocating. And what the senator says is, quote, "The state of California will not stand for this type of racist rhetoric and racist behavior. Today, we stand up and call upon the state of California to dump Trump." Okay. Well, let's take a look. Let's really look at what Donald Trump said. What Donald Trump said is they're sending people that have lots of problems, and they are bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're bringing rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. Huh. So if you take a look at the California prison system, just in the state of California, not the federal level or any other state, do you see a lot of these illegal immigrants bringing crime? Are they bringing in drugs?
Yes.
I mean, how many stories we have to see on every major network that shows the human smuggling of drugs and the sex trades of human smuggling, not just from the southern border, but, you know, the Asian borders, and not the Asian borders, but, you know, the Asians being smuggled into our ports of San Francisco and L.A. just for the sex trade or the sex, you know,
whatever
yes. It is. And my question is that when is truth going to be allowed to be deemed as racism? You know, that's where we're going to really have to start having this conversation, folks. Truth is not racism. The propaganda left here now are taking a page out of history with Joseph McCarthy, where Joseph McCarthy destroyed a lot of people with this term communist. Okay, so the Hollywood crowd, you know, they got long memories of that. Just because you're telling the truth about something, you know, does not mean that you're a racist. And, of course, recently in San Francisco with the unfortunate murder of that young lady and the ultimate thumbing of the nose and middle fingers to the federal government from sanctuary cities and counties up and down California and across this country, the lawlessness of local governments towards the federal government in the name of whatever. We've got the civil disobedience occurring in our cities from Baltimore to Ferguson to Seattle to Oakland, and now we've got the lawlessness towards the federal government when it comes to the deportation of individuals who should not be in this country. It's almost like that they're trying to utilize the illegal immigration as the modern day slaves. In other words, the old underground railroad to sanctuary cities. And so the problem we're going to have to start facing, folks, is the reality of the fact that facts are not racism.
Do you think, Andrew, and we've seen that Senator Dianne Feinstein, who was the mayor of San Francisco, has come out against the sanctuary city, San Francisco. Some 200 cities throughout these United States have that in place. And I don't understand the cooperation with the federal government. They say when they have an illegal, can you hold them for us till we can get them? This gentleman in question here, five times he was deported. And now he's saying it was an unfortunate accident, but it doesn't make any difference. A life was taken in five times, and they let him go. I just don't understand that when they knew, Andrew.
Well, here's the problem. I'm going to do this quote real quick because it's tough finding stories out here in California in the California media about this. It's more on the national level. It's like all of a sudden, you know, people want to focus more on the Confederate flag rather than individuals being murdered. And this, unfortunately, this young lady is not the only one that's been affected by as a result of individuals not supposed to be in this country. And so this is the apathy, or this is the messaging that we're starting to hear. And this comes from a man named Bill Hing. He's a law professor at the University of San Francisco. And he quoted this in one of the articles that came across our desk here today. He says, quote, "My big concern is that they start sweeping up people unnecessarily. What he says is, and this is what gets me, there's no way you can prevent what happened short of handing every alleged undocumented immigrant, and San Francisco should never do that. You know, this, there's no way we can prevent it that we're starting to hear amongst our millennials. Well, you can't stop it. You might as well just accept it. Attitude that we're having amongst our next generation in these communities and across this nation is starting to become the problem. What do you mean there's no way you could have prevented it? You could have prevented it by having a secured border. You could have prevented it by making sure that maybe this individual was thrown in jail for a long time. You could have prevented it by doing your job, by preventing that individual for being at that spot at that right time. This rationale across this nation, whether it be towards immigration or towards drugs across this nation, needs to stop, because this rationale that we're using to justify actions of individuals is starting to become very detrimental to this nation as a whole.
California and America, it is time to wake up and do those things. That's my good friend Andrew Wellborn over there just said. Very powerful words, Andrew. A terrific show. It was great. The callers, everything. Just fabulous.
Well, we want to thank those callers for calling in, because, you know, from time to time we don't get to them. And as always, folks, we really never know what we're going to say here on the air for the most part. We have some ideas. We kind of bounce them around. But we are really, truly, to remind you, political improv. We just make it up as we go. There are no teleprompters in front of us. We are not reading. In fact, you can tell when I'm reading because I stutter more, because I have a hard time actually reading. So we really appreciate you, folks. We got some exciting things coming up with the 503 Report. You know what, Tim? We're getting ready to start setting up our podcast, and I can't wait to start developing in that. And I tell you what, folks, well, that's going to be something special. We're going to make sure you know exactly where to go to get that.
What do we have from our...
of course, we always want to thank those men and women who work the toughest beat in the state, work formative duty, so that you, our listeners, up and down this great state and across this nation can be safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Folks, we want to thank you for your contributions to the 503 Report. We love hearing everything. That is what we do here. Not everybody does that, but here on the 503 Report, we do that. You can catch our show live right around 12:15 on Fridays on 1240 KSHW and the SierraDailyNews.com. About a half hour after the show, you can catch the rebroadcast as well on SierraDailyNews.com. And if you want to go back and check out those shows that Andrew and I were talking about today, you can go back and go to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, and check it out there. And grab a cup of coffee and join us for rebroadcast Saturday at 7, Sunday at 7:30, Saturday right before the news, Sunday before pre-programmed material. Folks, have yourself a great, great weekend. Remember, we are all born free.
Time.